Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. It's our statement of faith, who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. And good morning to my wife. She's back in Arizona playing grandma. And she said, be sure to say hi. And I do as I'm told. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday. What an incredible day we had. And what a week of Holy Week. It was very successful. So many people ministered to. Easter Sunday is about celebrating the victorious resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Historically, it's referred to as the high Sunday of the year, when Christians focus on what Christianity is really based on. Jesus' death and resurrection is what makes all of this possible for us. But the Sunday after Easter changes from people celebrating their faith to helping people who are struggling with their faith. Our scripture text is in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It doesn't say, but you got to figure it just scared him half to death. I love how, you know, he shows up, peace, you know, I'm sure you had to calm him down. So they're locked doors, all of a sudden there he is, and he's standing right in front of them. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I mean, the joy that filled their head. They thought everything was over on that Friday, and now here he is, resurrected from the dead. Now, continuing on, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means the twin. That's the only reference we have. Apparently, he was a twin. One of the 12 apostles, he was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, this is where Thomas gets the nickname Doubting Thomas. But he gets a lot of criticism for his refusal to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. But if you think about it, he's only asking for the kind of proof that all the other disciples had already received. They all saw him. And he said, "Here I am. Touch my hands. Take my side." So it's not that he's evil or some really bad apostle. It's just he's asking for the same thing they already got, which was proof of the resurrection. It's why, in fact, Jesus came and stood in their midst. On the other hand, I think it's a bit odd that they all struggled believing. I mean, stop and think of the miracles these guys saw over and over and over again. Not only did they witness Jesus doing miracles, at one point he gathers them together, these 12 apostles, and he gives them the power to do miracles. Now they go out and start doing what he'd been doing. They are seeing and experiencing things that would fry all of our minds. So if there's anybody, I would think that at this point, after 3 years of this experience, these experiences, would have no problem believing Jesus had raised from the dead. To me, it's a little odd. They had seen him raise people from the dead. So the concept couldn't have been shocking to them, but yet it was. You know, sometimes we get in a place that our faith just struggles. Anyway, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. This time, Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, again, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, looking at Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And then Thomas makes this very powerful confession of Jesus' divinity, probably the most powerful confession of Jesus' divinity recorded in the Gospels, where he says, my Lord and my God, acknowledging the deity of Jesus. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That would mean all of us here, right? We haven't seen, yet we believe and we encounter and we experience the grace of God through Jesus Christ in our lives. So a few takeaways from this portion of Scripture. Number one, Jesus meets us where we are. So remember, they're hiding, they're in fear, they're terrified after everything that happened. So they're huddled down, they've got the doors locked and stuff like that. Jesus doesn't chew them out for living in fear. He shows up right in the midst of their fears. While Jesus encouraged people to have faith and not doubt, Thomas' honesty with his faith struggle is not condemned. Jesus invites him to touch and see, showing that questions and faith can coexist. God honors faith that holds on through mystery. So mystery is something that is hidden, unknown, or difficult to explain or understand. And much of the Christian experience is rooted in mystery. It's why Jesus spoke in parables. He intentionally hid the truth from the people. And only those who had real insight was understanding what he's talking about, which is a fascinating thing. Jesus spoke in parables. The reality is God loves to play hide and seek, but the game is rigged. It's kind of like when you're playing hide and seek with a four-year-old. You don't run in the basement and cover yourself with blankets and play hide and seek that way with a four-year-old. You hide behind things like this. Come and get me. There you are. So it's a rigged game. God wants you to look for him, but he makes sure you can find him. No matter where you are in your faith, he wants you to look. He wants you to seek. He wants you to stretch a bit. But the game is rigged. He has it set so that he will be found. And in fact, the scriptures say many times, seek me and you will find me. Much of the Christian faith is rooted in mystery, meaning that not everything about faith has to make perfect sense to people. In fact, it doesn't. The word sacrament actually means mystery. Originally, the word sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum, which was a solemn vow. The Roman soldiers and stuff that would pledge allegiance to Caesar as part of his army, it was called sacramentum. But word meanings change over time, and the church picked up the word meaning as being a very solemn, serious thing, as sacramentum was to the soldiers. But more than that, it had a sense of a very serious thing hidden in mystery. And eventually the word overwhelmingly became known for mystery. It's intentional. You can't explain it. If you try, God isn't trying to get into your head. He's trying to get into your heart. All right? So a lot of what happens, we can't begin to explain. People say, Pastor, why did such and such happen? I have no idea. I don't have all the answers. In fact, we're not supposed to have all the answers. Jesus intentionally spoke in ways that didn't give people all the answers. Why? He wanted people to seek. Look after him. Seek him and you will find him. Not everything about faith has to make perfect sense. In fact, most things about faith won't make perfect sense. There's another encounter in the Gospels. This is before when Jesus was still teaching. This is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, starting in verse 17. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus replied to his disciples, You unbelieving generation, how long am I going to be stuck with you guys? Being a smart aleck, if I were there, I would have said, Well, you're God, you should know. And then I probably would have got zapped. Anyway, how long shall I put up with you? He says, Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when this evil spirit that was in the boy saw Jesus, it starts to freak out, and it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And then Jesus starts to have a conversation. I would think, hurry up here. We got the situation. He goes to the father, how long has he been like this? He said, from childhood. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus answered, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. You can imagine after years and years and years of this situation, it's hard to get it through your head that things can change. That's the frustrating thing about struggles that we have. The longer you have them, the harder it is to believe you can get out of them. But we see this over and over again through the scriptures. After years and years of people being in situations, we just talked about Joseph and how so many years he was in prison. It's amazing he didn't give up. He didn't give up, but it took a long time because discouragement sets in. It seems like nothing's ever going to change. And we might start full of faith and hope as a believer, and time has a way of just beating the snot out of us. And you get discouraged, and you think, this will never change, this will never change. This is where this father was at this point. He says, if you can do anything. Jesus said, if you can. I love this dialogue here. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit, you deaf and dumb, deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, ah, he's dead. Talk about a positive people. The thing, he shrieks, falls, ah, now he's dead. Always looking at the most negative thing. But you can understand, people really struggle in their heads with what's happening. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. So this father struggled with his faith, but I think he had more faith than he gave himself credit for. You say, how do you know that? Because he's there. He's there. He comes to Jesus, actually comes to Jesus' disciples at first, because they, at this point, had been doing miracles as well. And they came to him. And people who have absolutely no faith in God don't come to Jesus for answers and for help. You say, I'm struggling in my faith. I'm having a hard time believing. If you're here this morning, you got more faith than you think. All right? People who have no faith don't go to church. People who have no faith at all don't reach out to Jesus in any way, shape, or form. Something in them is, and it comes from God. God gives people faith. The problem is getting past this, right? And a lot of people think, well, we have to fix this before I can get to faith. But no, the reality is he works in mystery. He loves to work in mystery. He hides in the shroud of mystery. When we do sacraments, sacraments are, as I said earlier, mysteries. You can't explain it. Sacrament of is God using a physical thing to bring a spiritual grace. In baptism, it's water. How does that happen? I don't know. We're about to take communion together. And it becomes the body and blood of Jesus to us. You say, well, how do you explain that? Well, you can't. It's interesting. You know, people don't, they struggle with, they want to explain everything. We talk about the body and blood, and I think, well, is it literally, physically? Well, obviously not. You know, but what is it? It's, I don't know. It's hard to explain. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. It's a mystery. It's a sacrament. And God brings a blessing through this sacrament. When we lay hands on people, God shows up on the laying on of hands. How does that happen? I don't know. Aren't I encouraging your faith this morning? He's dumb as a brick. He don't know nothing. I don't know. These things are mysteries. You know, when we anoint people with oil for healing and healing comes, how does that happen? I don't know. I don't know, but I don't try to figure everything out. In fact, true faith embraces mystery. We don't run from it. We don't hide from it. We don't shield ourselves from it. And I see so many evangelical Christian organizations that do everything they can to try and intellectually explain everything. And God bless them. Some of them are brilliant at doing it. But I kind of think they're missing the point. We're not going to make believers of the world by trying to make everything make physical sense to people. Christianity is about embracing faith. When you pray, you're embracing a mystery. You know, that's why unbelievers think when we pray, we're crazy people. We're talking to nothing. Oh, we're talking to God. And it's real and it's powerful because we embrace the mystery. Don't let the fact that you can't explain everything cause you to struggle. We're not supposed to be able to explain everything. Why? It's called faith. It's mystery. And God embraces mystery and intentionally creates mystery that we can't explain or understand, but yet it's very, very real and very, very powerful. So this father, the fact that he was there at all, shows that he, in fact, did have faith. Faith isn't about having all the answers. It's about trusting the one who does. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to get ready to serve communion to all of us as we enter this mystery, the sacrament of communion. Jesus Christ, on the night he was, before he was betrayed, no, the night he was betrayed, was with his disciples for his last supper. And he gave them the bread, said, this is my body. He gave them the wine, said, this is my blood. He said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. It's part of the mystery. Who can explain it? I can't. There's people who make efforts to try and explain it all, but I don't even try. The whole thing is a mystery. Why you people come to listen to me is a mystery to me. Yet, nonetheless, here you are. I don't spend my whole life trying to figure everything out. It's exhausting. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, how any of this stuff works is life. Life itself is a mystery. But it's a mystery that is celebrated, not to be feared. Now, the Bible says whenever we take communion, we should pause and examine our own hearts. So we're going to do that right now. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, Before we take the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we should not have done, something that we should have done but we didn't do, if we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, if we let the mysteries of faith try to rob us of our faith, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. Have mercy on us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for all of our sins. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, as people are thinking and reflecting, maybe you're here thinking, you know what? I've never experienced what you're talking about. Well, you can right now. You can enter this mystery. Just speak to Jesus in your own words. Just whisper to him, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can have the big reset of your life right here, right now with us here this morning. Amen.